Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave McMenamin is with us now to talk about it. Dave, were you stunned, surprised, or not surprised at all by this Cavs performance?
I was surprised. Stunned, but surprised, because they did go into the playoffs having won 11 out of 14 games. They had fresh legs, supposedly. They're playing at home. There was no, like, excuse. And they had a healthy roster for the first time all season. So it looked like all these things were going in their favor. And then, you know, they completely laid an egg. Now, I didn't pick the Cavs to sweep, so that's why I said I wasn't stunned.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that when they made their run, you know, they just didn't have enough to get over the hump. And Indiana seemed to have those timely baskets that the Cavs could not deliver on their end.
Dave, early in the game, when LeBron was not aggressive and didn't take a shot until, you know, a couple minutes to go in the first quarter, or it was 10 minutes into the game, excuse me, was that him just kind of feeling it out and seeing, you know, hey, what am I working with this new squad? Or like, I just didn't get his lack of kind of engagement early in the game.
Yeah, that's how I took it. Like, him knowing that if they're going to do anything this postseason, it's going to come down to these teammates that he's never had to rely on in a postseason setting before. And so let's get these guys some buckets early, get some confidence underneath their sails, so then they're going to give more effort defensively if they have some buckets on the offensive end. But obviously it didn't work out that way. I was just talking to your guys' producer, Keith, off air about this. You know, if those shots fall, he looks smart and he looks magnanimous and he looks like he knows exactly what he needed to do. If they don't, you know, it's easy to say now, hey, you're the best player in the world. Why'd you wait 10 minutes to put your stamp on the game? Ty Lue even said today that, hey, I spoke to LeBron about it. I need him to be more aggressive. He agreed that, you know, he can be more aggressive, and we're going to go from there. I know. I think that this is one of those tough ones where it's LeBron kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. But I guess it's always easier to say that, you know, if he goes out and puts up 20 in the first quarter and they're still losing by 20, then there's no way for you to criticize LeBron.
Dave, I don't want to make too big a deal of one game, but, you know, because the Cavs can go out and win the next four and dominate the whole Eastern Conference playoffs, we don't know. But, like, I did sense that so many – not you guys that cover the team, but I did sense that many other media members, and especially the fans, thought the East would just be easy like it's always been for the Cavs. And, again, maybe it will be. I'm not saying I'm right because of one game. But I didn't get that because this team with this group hasn't proven anything outside of LeBron. Kevin Love's never been the number two guy. JR and Tristan, at least we thought, had their roles diminished, although JR didn't yesterday. And Kyrie, you know, we'll find out how huge a loss. So do you think this team has a lot to prove and this run will be a lot harder?
Or no? Yeah, I'm with you there. I thought it was going to be hard when I looked across the Eastern Conference. I thought, no, I'm still talking in terms of the Cavs will get through the Pacers. So I think a second-round matchup against Toronto is going to be harder than the other two playoff series they played against Toronto. And I still expect them to get themselves right, get through Toronto, and then have Philadelphia waiting there. And I think Philadelphia, at that point, right now they're already on the 17-game winning streak. They're about to add one of the top 20 players in the league back to their squad in Joel Embiid.
Yep.
If they keep playing good ball for another month, that's going to be an extremely tough series. So, if they do get back to the finals, I think it's their toughest route out of these 4 years that they've been together since LeBron came here. But I'm with you there. Now, Kevin, I'm not going to kill Kevin. I mean, he had 17 rebounds. He was getting offensive rebounds in the third quarter when they made their run. He only got 8 shots. He doesn't control that. He needs to get the ball delivered to him. And I know Ty Lue said today at practice that, well, Kevin needs to, you know, call for the ball in the post and be more aggressive. I get that to some degree, but that's not really fair. I mean, Kevin needs to get the ball given to him. He's never taken the ball on a defensive rebound and initiating the offense by putting the ball on the floor. Like, that's not his role. So he needs to rely on his teammates to make sure he's fed the ball. all. So I still believe the number two score aspect for him is not that much of a stretch. But beyond LeBron and Kevin, I think there's a ton of question marks. And, you know, a lot of guys with a lot to prove. And not just, you know, for the pride factor, but there's guys with financial incentives certainly headed into the summer to prove that they're the type of players that people either in Cleveland or general manager around the league would want to pay.
Is one game enough, Dave, to basically say Jeff Green can't be starting on this team in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, certainly if he's going to play like that, because the Cavs had all sorts of analytics that make Jeff Green look great. LeBron played a lot better this regular season with Jeff Green on the court versus when he wasn't on the court. The best five-man lineups, I think the top three five-man lineups the Cavs had during the regular season, Jeff Green was a part of them. But if he misses open shots, he was 0 for 7, which is unexcusable, and he doesn't bring the defensive kind of maneuverability and the ability to not only give problems to a big man but to a smaller player, well then, yeah, you got to find an alternative solution for him. The disappointing thing about not just Scott Jeffrey but the rest of the Cavs was you saw Indiana defenders getting up in the Cavs players' chests. And I think it sometimes is not that simple, but just the eye test. You saw it. You saw Corey Joseph. You saw Bojan Bogdanovic. You saw certainly Collison and Victor Oladipo just not giving any breathing room to the Cavs offensive players. On the other side, you didn't see the Cavs defenders doing the same thing.
Yep.
The reason Jeff Green is on the court is so he can provide that type of pressure to both big men and backcourt players, and he didn't do it. So either he gets himself in the right place to do that, or I agree with you, you have to move away from him. But I'm not so sure you have to do it in game two.
We're talking with Dave McMenamin of ESPN. Dave, I heard a lot of people saying yesterday, well, if the Cavs just shoot better, they'll be fine. That's it. But, you know, Bogdanovic was 5 of 17. Collison's a great shooter. He was 2 of 9. Sabonis couldn't stay out of his own way. It seemed like all he did was foul anybody. So they have three guys that are important to their team who really didn't play that well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I think, as I mentioned, Bogdanovic, I think, had a big impact on the game. He didn't shoot well. But with you, Collison, I mean, he missed shots he's going to make. I do think, though, if the Cavs make two or three of those threes, you know, they go 8 for 34 from three. Let's say they make two or three of those threes early, and rather than being a 17-point deficit, you're trying to fight back the entire game, it's a 9-point deficit. Just the mental drain is different on a team. And so I think that's within the realm of their skill set. You know, Kyle Korver, one of his threes rolled around the room twice and came out. You know, that's, I think it's a fair assessment to make. And then you could also say that part of the reason why Indiana wouldn't necessarily be expected to bounce back and shoot better in game two because they're still on the road. And right. The Cavs still have that home court advantage on their side. So I think you can apply some of that to game two and say, well, the Cavs will shoot better. And you don't just say automatically that Indiana Pacers will shoot better, too, because, again, they're playing on the road. But it's more than that. To me, it's the aggression, and that's on the defensive end and the offensive end, where the Pacers were pushing the Cavs around. And that, if that happens in game two, you could pretty much say the series is going to be over.
Dave McMenamin is with us. Dave, you know, Ty seems like pretty loyal to certain guys, and there's something – what's his relationship like with Jeff Green? Like, didn't he really want Jeff Green on this team? And I just wonder, I guess, not to just pick on Jeff this whole interview, but, like, what does Ty Lue see in Jeff Green?
Well, I mean, outside of the analytics I mentioned you before, and
no,
of
sure, but
they have relationships going all the way back to the days in Boston. Jeff Green was a part of the Cavs starting lineup when they beat Toronto twice and Boston in the last 2 weeks of the season. You know, that's what he sees. Yeah. I mean, I think he sees in when they had that tough game in Philly where they're down 30 points on the road, Jeff Green puts up 28 points and they come within a bucket of winning that game. So I think that's what he sees in him. I think he has far more of a wealth and experience with the guy and confidence in the guy than to try to just peg his entire Cavs potential on what he did in game one.
Yeah, I guess the whole thing with like Jeff saying that he's just going to keep shooting. I mean, he's never been a great 3-point shooter from the outside. You know, I wonder if is he delusional?
Well, I mean, the guy can make shots.
Yeah.
Again, I referenced just that Philadelphia game.
Sure.
And that Philadelphia game came on the heels of, you know, he had that tough game in Portland where he was missing open shots. And in the locker room in Portland, Ty Lue, LeBron James, Jordan Clarkson, I think, I'm trying to think who else was involved. I think maybe George Hill. We're all telling Jeff, hey, you got to shoot it. And don't shoot with hesitation. So, you know, if it's the coaching staff and his teammates are telling Jeff Green to shoot, he should probably be telling the media, I should be shooting, and not listen to the media telling him I shouldn't be shooting.
We're talking with Dave McMenamin of ESPN. Dave, all right, let's go with one of the very few positives from yesterday, and that was J.R. Smith. It's not been a great season for J.R. I think you could, you know, I mean, you could definitely argue he was one of the few players that brought energy. I thought Larry Nance Jr. did too, but he was one of the few guys that didn't seem like the moment was too big for him. It was a good game for him yesterday.
Yeah, he played really well, and I guess the tough part here was that Ty Lue's kind of logic going into the playoffs and keeping JR in that backup role was when he's with the second unit, they actually run offense through him, and they run plays for him so he can get his shot going, feel more involved. When he plays with LeBron and Kevin in the starting unit, it's kind of they need to run stuff for LeBron and Kevin, and then, you know, JR kind of gets lost in terms of a floor spacer, and he just needs to be ready and catch and shoot when the ball comes to him. By the way he played in game one, you're like, oh man, let's just have our guys who actually are ready to play in the starting lineup to begin the game. But if you do that, again, he maybe falls into that rut where he doesn't touch the ball as much and isn't as effective. So it's a tough kind of balancing act for Ty to look at, especially because we were told today that George Hill's back was stiff after he took that back screen from Trevor Booker in game one. So we don't know if George Hill's going to be able to play. We don't know if Kyle Korver's going to be able to play. He missed practice with an illness. Mm. And so you say, okay, maybe by necessity we got to change up our starting lineup, but if I do that, what JR am I going to get?
You think Tristan gets himself back in the rotation at some point here?
I do. Actually, I think as soon as game two. Ty Lue was asked today about kind of looking at the guys he's had on this team for the last 3 years that have been part of these finals runs, and he mentioned JR and Tristan by name, and you know, he trusts Tristan for better or for worse to not get swallowed by the moment. And of course, we all know Tristan has had his worst year as a pro, and for most of the year looked like a shell of himself. But if that reason is physical ailments and not being, you know, quote unquote nervous or scared by what's going on with all the implications of a playoff game, then I think that's kind of a trade-off that Ty will take. And so I really believe that you'll see Tristan play, you know, or be part of the rotation in game two.
Dave, do you think did Ty Lue make a mistake in terms of, you know, playing time for Calderon, playing time for Korver? You know, and in Korver and Hill's case, was it injury? Is Korver having a problem with that foot? And what's going on with that?
So Korver came into the game with a minutes restriction that Ty wouldn't say what it was, but the last time we knew he was on a minutes restriction was 18 in that game in Philadelphia when Korver didn't play on the stretch and we saw Jetty Osman missing shot after shot. I imagine it would still be somewhat in that range. He only played 4 minutes. He went 0 for 3 from the floor. He had a terrible cross-court pass that led to a turnover when Indiana was on their run. And Ty believed that in order for them to get back to the game, they needed to go with a quicker lineup. And obviously, Korver is not known for his speed. I think Korver gives them a ton when he's right. But we don't know if he's right. And there's probably a reason why he missed the last three regular season games he sat out with that foot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what Korver is going to be able to give them. You know, you could say, yeah, like Kyle Korver had all these moments during the regular season. Why don't we use him now? I think Ty Lue remembers those great moments Korver had as well, though. So I would imagine he knows more about his status than we do. Beyond that, with the Hill thing, I mean, he got hurt. So, you know, what are you going to do then? You gave Calderon a try. Calderon missed his shots. Calderon got, you know, basically blown by several times on defense. I don't know if Calderon can be a postseason defender. Ty said he wanted to do it because he thinks that gets Jordan Clarkson off ball and he's more effective off ball. But, you know, it's one thing in theory, another thing in practice. And if you see, you know, a 36-year-old guy keep getting blown by, you know, how much patience should you have for that?
Dave, last thing. Is Ty Lue's job in trouble, depending on how the playoffs go?
It's a great question. I think if there was a first-round exit, which would be surprising for everyone involved, I would certainly think you'd have to think that it would be in trouble. But that's not based on reporting. That's just based on, you know, knowing what it's like in the NBA, where if you have one of the top five payrolls in the league, part of the way teams make money or make money back from those payrolls is hosting a lot of playoff games.
Yeah,
you make
right.
$7 million per game. If you only have two home playoff games, you get swept out of the first round. Just the financial impact of that would need to fall on somebody. But, you know, the Cavs went through a lot of struggles this year. The Cavs had chances to bail from Ty Lue. They backed him up when they had that terrible home loss to the Houston Rockets. They backed him up and encouraged him to go take care of his health so he could be right for the playoffs. I think the franchise's intention is that they're standing behind their head coach.
Dave, we appreciate it. Good work as always. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.